Sometimes I go to the Subway restaurant here in North Scranton. That's my favorite one when I do go there. And so I was out doing a lot of things. Very busy week this week. Hardly any leisure time. So I was going to get my lunch there and order a 12-inch veggie sub, as I usually do. And I went there and got my sub, and I sat down at a table there. And there was a lot of people in there. Saw a young African-American lady come in, and she was looking around as she was getting ready to eat, and she saw me and just walked right over to my table. And she had a kind of a booklet with pictures and Bible in it, and she opened it up, put the Bible pictures right down there, started with Genesis, and started just talking to me about the Bible. And of course, I knew exactly what was going on, and I just listened as she began to go through it. And she said that she was giving me the gospel, and that means good news, good news. But then I took her to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which defines the gospel, verses 1 through 3. And when I took her there, the gospel tells us how to be saved. And there's nothing more important than being saved. If you're not saved, you're on your way to hell. You're not going to stay here. We're just, everything we do comes to pass. And you don't want to wind up there. And you want to be saved from that. So she was purporting to give me the good news of how to be saved. And I took her to 1 Corinthians 14, and I took her to the Authorized King James Bible, and in verse 2 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, it says of the gospel, by which ye have been saved. So there's a moment when you hear the gospel, which is the good news according to the Bible, and we know the next verse talks about the death, burial, resurrection of Christ for our sins according to the scripture, and it says if you believe the gospel, you have been saved. It happened, and it continues into the future. That's a perfect tense. It means it happened in the past at some point in your life, and you are continually saved. You will never be lost. If you ever got saved, you will be saved forever. Amen. And I'm so glad today I'm saved. Amen. And I got good news for you. If you're not saved, you could be saved.
That's right.
This is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And it's all prepared. The meal is prepared. You think of a dinner, and the Bible uses that. And you go to that dinner, and it's a free dinner. And either you can come or not come. But if you come, you will be fed. And you are saved if you come to Christ the moment you come to Him and put your trust in Him. But when she got out, quote unquote, her Bible, I warned her as she was getting her Bible out. I warned her that the group who had trained her had corrupted Bibles. And I knew that they would change words by adding to the Bible and subtracting from the Bible. And I know that this is the work of Satan, and he gives out a fake gospel, which is not the gospel at all. It is not good news. And so sure enough, she read from her modern translation of her group, and it said, through which you are also, through which you are also, let me quote it correctly. I got it written right down here. It says, through which you are also being saved. You are being saved. I told her that when one believes the gospel and so believes upon the crucified, buried, risen Christ Jesus, that that person has been saved the moment they rested in Christ. I showed her sitting down in a stool. I got up and I sat down in one of the Subway stools. I said, now I'm resting in that stool. The stool is holding me up. When you trust Christ, Christ saves you. It is completed. She said, no, you won't know that till the end. No, I said the people that gave you that Bible, they corrupted the Word of God. And they're using a corrupt Bible to mislead you and to damn you to hell. And I don't want to see that happen to you. She told me that modern translation is right. And so there you go. The fake Bible slipped her a lie of Satan. Satan is a lying snake.
Yes, preach it.
And I'm against Satan. Amen. Hey. And then we got into the lake of fire. And I knew what she believed about the lake of fire. She claimed to be a Jehovah Witness. But she didn't ever tell me that or have to tell me that. I knew she was a Jehovah, quote unquote, Witness. And she said the lake of fire is a place where if you're not saved, at the end you're thrown into it and immediately, painlessly burned up once and forever, like that. And I explained to her, or let me say at this point, I tried to explain to her, because when she realized I had that King James Bible, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, it was cutting her every which way to Friday. I was speaking very softly, bringing verses up. Her voice began to raise. It got higher and higher. It got to the point where she was doing this by my table as I'm sitting there, and she's preaching, and everybody in the restaurant is looking. A whole place. It was pretty full. It was a lunch hour. They were all looking, and I'm just like, Lord, this is interesting. Where you've got me? I just prayed, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I want to be a witness. And so anyway, the whole place was filled up, and I tried to take her to the King James Bible to Jude 7. Immediately, that verse came to mind, and where it says there, and I'll read it to you right now. It says that people in the days of about 4,000 years ago that were killed and died in Sodom, it says that those people, present continuous action, are set forth as an example, listen, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It didn't say they were burned up and don't feel anything. They are present tense right now, today, right now, as I speak to you now, and as I spoke to her then, they are suffering. They are still in that fire. I don't like it, but it's true. And I must warn you to flee from the wrath of God to come. And there's only one place to run, and that's to Jesus. Yeah. Not to church membership, not to baptism, not to this or that, but to Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the world, who was buried, who rose again, and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Yeah. Yep. If I sit down in that pew, I am sitting down and I am resting. Yeah. I don't have to guess, maybe I will be someday resting. No, I am. And you need to do that if you haven't done that. And if not, you will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, I told her, because she took offense to me using the King James Bible. It's amazing. She said, I'll use the New American Standard with you. I'll use the New English Version. I'll use the New King James. She said, I'll use the New King James. I will not use this. And her reason was that you are antiquated as a pastor, that you are teaching people the Bible that we don't speak in that language. We don't speak in this kind of language of the King James Bible. I said, would it surprise you to know that when the Bible was written 400 years ago, or I should say when it was translated into the King James Bible 400 years ago, that they didn't speak that language either? Yep. It's in that Bible. I said, that Bible was written as it is to really give you a clear understanding of what the Hebrew and Greek from which the Bible was written in was all about. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But she told me that she would only accept the modern translation. I explained that Jesus wants us to have an every word Bible.
Amen.
I said, man shall not live by bread alone, quoting Jesus,
amen,
and quoting Deuteronomy 8, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
And Satan doesn't want us to have every word because he knows these words are important.
Amen.
And he knows that he can deceive you. And I said, the Bible says, don't believe every spirit that's in the world. There are many deceivers. I said, that snake has got you deceived. And you need to hear from the real Bible right here, which is for the English-speaking people, the King James Bible. I said it was translated when English was at its highest, its acme. It's only degenerated from there. And when scholarship was at its highest, and God did it not because it was the common language of the people even then, but because it was a Bible translation that he wanted to use to reach the English-speaking people, knowing that the gospel would go out from England and America. And it has. And he wanted it to be something that would reflect accurately the Hebrew and the Greek. And we'll talk about that as I went on talking to her. But I told her that Paul wrote, the Apostle Paul wrote of those that followed Satan shortly after the apostles wrote the New Testament. Shortly after the apostles completed the Bible and the book of Revelation was done by the Apostle John, Paul wrote, but he wrote before that, he wrote, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. 2 Corinthians 2:17. You see, the Bible that she had and the modern translations of the Bible are corrupt. Corrupt means that they're decayed, that they're defiled, that they're not pure, they're not the pure word of God. And I said to her, the Bible that you have, the quote unquote Bible you had, I said it comes, there are only two sources for the Bible.
Right.
Only two Bibles. You can take all the modern translations, and they come from a corrupt source.
Right.
And then you can take the King James Bible, and it comes from a pure source.
Hey.
The corrupt source is Alexandria in Egypt.
Right.
That's your Bible. And all these modern translations that you hold up, and you won't listen to this Bible, it comes out of Antioch, Syria, which was the great missionary church that the Apostle Paul did all of his missionary trips out of. And I said that you have a corrupt Bible. And I said, God called his son out of Egypt. She was listening at this point. Egypt, I said, is a type of the world. I said, Jacob and Joseph, the patriarchs of Israel as a nation, God's, they wanted to get their bodies out of Egypt when they died, and their bodies were carried out of Egypt. God redeemed the children of Israel out of Egypt and drowned the Egyptians. And yet there was an early liberal catechetical school in Alexandria, Egypt, that used Greek philosophy and spiritualized the Bible and was full of heresy and lies. And that's where these early copies of the Bible written by the apostles and overseas, that's where they were kept, and the manuscripts were corrupted way back then.
Right.
You say, that's a long time ago. Yeah, well, Satan started in the Garden of Eden corrupting the Word of God.
Right.
He says, thou shalt not surely die. And he went on to try to get Eve to corrupt the Bible, which she did. She added to the Bible and subtracted from the Bible right there. Satan has been doing that to confuse people. Listen to me. You need this book and rely on this book for your salvation. That is what we need, the Word of God. And so these satanically corrupted manuscripts began to be used, the ones in Alexandria, Egypt. Guess who used these manuscripts? The Roman Catholic Church, who didn't want their people to understand the Bible. And if they did, they wanted it to go along with their compromised teaching. And later, long after the Reformation that brought the truth back, and long after the Philadelphia church era, the great missionary era, right toward the end of that era, I should say, guess what? They discovered manuscripts called Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, which became the manuscripts that were Roman Catholic manuscripts, but they became the manuscripts used by all the corrupt modern translations right. of your English Bible. And actually, the New King James, they came out, and she was willing to use the New King James because, we can understand that. By the way, the New King James is at the 8th grade level. This King James was written at the 6th grade level.
Right.
Studies have proven that. You should see some of the New King James word. I don't have time to get into it. But anyway, she was buying this. And I said, Satan's got you. And I said, the New King James is no more the New King James than I'm the New King Tut.
It's true.
And so she gave her reason. And I said, these Bibles, one was discovered at the foot of Mount Sinai by a guy named Tischendorf, a German higher critic. And the other was discovered in a Vatican library. They were using the one in Sinai. Monks were using it to heat. They had rolls, and they were using it to heat themselves in the winter. They were burning it up. In other words, they were satanically corrupted things that originally were in Alexander, Egypt, and they had been set aside as not being the Bible. And yet these modern scholars, quote unquote, they said, well, these Bibles are older manuscripts. They're in better shape and they're older. Older is not necessarily better. The reason why they were old and preserved in good shape is they weren't being used to soul win. I wear out Bibles all the time. I just wore out another one. I've just had to get another one out. I hate to do it, but I had to do it. I wore it out. I wore them out. And they would have to recopy them. And that's why the manuscripts that are behind the King James Bible are more recent because they've been recopied. And recopied because they wear out quicker. So there are only two Bibles, I told her. One is from a corrupt source and comes through the Catholic Church and now is in the modern translation. Same devil. And this was discovered right at the end of the Philadelphian church era in the late 1800s, right in time for Laodicea. And we'll study about Laodicea, neither hot nor cold. Yep. Jesus said, I'll spew you. That means I'll vomit you out of my mouth.
Yep.
You say, what does Jesus think about the modern translation?
That's right.
And what bothered me about it was that she would not even let me talk in the King James. She started talking over me. I said, we can't have a discussion if you won't even let me interact. At first, you at least let me interact with you. But you don't want to hear the truth. I said, what are you afraid of? It was a way to read God's word. And I told her, I said, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 15 that we just read about the gospel, her translation just said you. But the King James says you and ye. And there in the verse I just quoted in 1 Corinthians 15:2, by which ye have been saved, it's plural, ye. Why? That means all of you. It reflects plural. In that translation, the New King James, or her translation, it's you. No, ye. But see, the Hebrew reflects, if it's plural, there's a word for that in the Hebrew. And if it's singular you, second person, you know, it's reflecting in the Hebrew. English doesn't do that. Now, as we speak, it's just you. You plural, you singular. But the King James has ye and you. I said, for instance, you take the word Lord. Well, in the King James, it's capital L, small o, small r, d. That's the Hebrew word for Adonai. And Adonai means the supreme master, the supreme ruler. But I said, there's another word, L-O-R-D, I told her, and it's capital L, capital R-O, capital R, capital D, and that is not Adonai, that is not supreme master, though it's the same word in the English. That word means Yahweh, or the covenant God, who enters into a personal relationship with his people by covenant. I said, that is the word for what we call Jehovah. And that is God, the Lord. And I told her about that, and I said to her, you know, your problem is not that this Bible can't be understood. I said, your problem is you don't have the Holy Spirit because you're not saved. I told her the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The problem is not that we need more corrupt, quote-unquote, Bibles. We need more people to get really saved and to have the Holy Ghost so they can understand the Word of God. I remember my brother, he was no more saved than a doorknob. He came up to me, and I was in Bible college, and he said, you know, at our church, I have to give a devotional on Romans 12. And he gave me the Bible, and he said, would you help me with it? And I explained it to him, and I thought I helped him, and he went and gave the devotional. I thought, he told me later, he said, when you told me what you were telling me, it made no sense whatsoever. It was like Greek. I could not understand what you were saying. And later on, he got saved.
Amen.
Amen.
He said, now I can tell you I understand. You see, that's the need today, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God blesses his word. And so I told her, I said, you know, I tried to tell her that she believed that Jesus Christ is just a created being. Jehovah false witnesses believe he's like an angel, like Michael, and that God created him, then he created everything. I told her that in John's gospel, Jesus calls himself Jehovah God. But you don't believe that. And if you don't believe in the Jesus Christ of the Bible, even though you believe in a Christ, if it's an antichrist, you'll die and go to hell. And the Jehovah Witnesses believe in an antichrist. One in place of Christ. It's a false Christ. And I told her, I said, it says in Galatians 1, though I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than I have preached, let him be accursed. I said, number one, you're under a curse. And I said, number two, and I didn't say it loudly, very quietly. I said, number two, and I feel sorry for you. You're a Jehovah's false witness. You have run into a Jehovah true witness. I'm witnessing to you about Jehovah Jesus. And you need to get saved. That really set her off. It was like she went up in decibels. And she was not having it. And she was preaching to me. And everybody at that restaurant, let me tell you, when I walked out there, they were all looking at me. And so since she had a corrupt Bible, she had a corrupt false Jesus, she had a corrupt gospel, and she needed the truth. And so I told her that she was not really letting me talk to her anymore. I said, we can't keep on like this. And I said, and this is what happens to me whenever I talk to Jehovah Witnesses. They want to get away from me. They want to get away. I remember one time I was witnessing to them on my doorstep in the middle of January with about two feet of snow in my yard. I had my pajamas on, no shoes. And they're running away down and across the lawn, and I'm running with the Bible in the snow, trying to come, and they're out of there, you know. They didn't want to hear it. And she was like that, and although she might have been just hungry, she was in line and probably thought this was going to be quick, nice, tame man over there, you know, older gentleman. And it didn't turn out that way. So what she did was she decided to then, she knew at that point I was a pastor. I have a congregation that I preach to. I gave her a tract, you know. And she's like, she said, "You're a watchman and you're failing to warn your congregation. You're failing them. You're failing as a watchman." And I said, well, I said, you know, she was trying to find Ezekiel. And she was going to Ezekiel 17. She had the wrong chapter. It was Ezekiel 33. She did that a few times. In Revelation 12, she was trying to find. I was trying to tell her what Revelation 12 was. But she was trying to find the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast in Revelation 13, which I later realized she couldn't find it. But anyway, she was telling me that